And I was brushing my teeth, looking in the bathroom cabinet that I had fixed to the wall myself, without help. Actually, I needed help as a life, but I managed to fix this. The first thing I'd ever done as a married man was fix a bathroom cabinet. I was brushing my teeth, and my wife walked past, and I thought, as I looked in the mirror, I thought, oh, her face looks swollen. And then I looked around, and she looked fine. And I realized it was the first time I'd seen her in the mirror. And I realized she had a lopsided face. All of us have, of course, as you know. But it just, I realized then, of course, I don't see myself, do I? I only see myself in the mirror. I don't know what you see. Well, not really. And that's my title, really. What do you see when you look in the spiritual mirror, the moral mirror? What do you see? I remember 45 years ago, more than that, I was a student down in Swansea there. And we were having a kind of discussion, debate over lunch, five or six of us, over something pretty petty. I can't remember what it was. And afterwards, my mate, who wasn't involved, he was just sitting on the sidelines, said to me, why do you always have to have the last word? And, you know, I hadn't noticed that he was right, but I hadn't noticed that I always wanted to have the last word. And this week I was thinking, why did I always want to have the last word, even though I didn't realize it? And the answer was, I wanted to justify my own position. I wanted to justify myself. I had a desperate desire to defend myself. Even if it was a petty debate. And here in Luke 16, we return to Jesus dealing with the Pharisees. Remember, they were conservative, religious, orthodox leaders. Jesus has been chatting to them about and challenging them about being trustworthy with the precious things of God. And he's warned them that they can't serve God and money, which was ages ago now we looked at that. But their response is disappointing. They sneer at his teaching. I guess they're thinking, well, what right has this peasant preacher got to tell us? And so Jesus hits him full on here. You are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. They loved money. Who doesn't love money? We all like money. Very handy, isn't it, money? But these, Jesus says, you are quick to defend yourselves, quick to justify yourselves, super swift to justify yourselves. And that one thing alone will bar them from heaven. Just that one thing. There are dozens of other things, but that one thing alone means you can never get to heaven if you are justifying and defending yourself all the time. I read just yesterday in Proverbs 8, choose instruction rather than silver. In other words, get understanding of God more than any wealth, more than anything else. Remember in Matthew 13, you've got the guy, the parable of the pearl. You know the story, or you all know the story. There's a guy, he's been searching for some invaluable. Oh, but he finds something. Well, this is a dream. This is he was hoping to find something, but this is tremendous. And he's willing to sell everything. He's prepared to pay any price. But the Pharisees, this is the point, the Pharisees were not prepared to pay any price to find the truth of God. The reason being, they thought they were doing all right. And some of you think you're doing okay. But God knew their hearts, and God knows your heart. He knows you. Again, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see what God sees? I always tell the same story of when I was a young teacher, and the kids used to say to me, about the art teacher, sir, he stands in front of us, and he was a big fat fella. He stands in front of us and he says, now I want you to draw me. I'm an average man. And all the kids are going, you're a big fat man. You're not an average man at all. But what do you see? Many years ago, I was talking to a fellow, Malcolm, and he had young grandchildren. He was telling me how important he thought it was that his grandchildren kind of looked up to him and idolized him, you know? And how his wife had said to him from time to time, Malcolm, make sure you don't burst their bubble. I remember thinking, what do you think of that? Because from time to time, it bothered Malcolm that he wasn't what he was trying to portray to them. He knew deep inside that he was fake. But nevertheless, he was trying to carry on conning them. Now, are you trying to impress others? Trying to con God? How quick are you to justify yourself. God knows the real you. Somebody was just telling me last week about the sat-nav thing, you know. It knows exactly where you are. Well, God knows not just where you are, he knows everything about you. And it's not pleasant viewing when he sees, is it? When he sees what we're like inside. Occasionally people point out mistakes or flaws. Are you quick to defend yourselves? Are you? Do you say things like, I'm sorry, I don't know what came over me. I'm awfully sorry, I'm tired. I'm awfully sorry, I'm stressed at the moment. Do you defend yourselves when you've behaved badly? See, when somebody points out something and you are miffed that they found out something, that they pointed out something, and you know it's true, but you're disappointed, you're angry that they've pointed it out, God knows that not only is that true about you, he knows you're a million times worse than that. They've only pointed out something as superficial. Years ago, Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of Sherlock, he was a prankster, and he decided he'd pick on 15 or so of the most famous people in the land and send them a telegram. Remember telegrams? Yeah, they're gone now, aren't they? And he sent anonymous telegrams to these were the movers and shakers in the whole land, the most famous people, celebrities, if you like. And all he said on them was this: they're on to you. 10 of them left Britain straight away. Why? Because they knew deep inside there were things they were hiding. Now, of course, Conan Doyle had no idea what the things were. He just thought he'd play a prank. But of course, God knows. He is onto us. He knows what we like. Question is, again, what do you see in the mirror when you look at yourself? See, sin is choosing yourself rather than justifying God. That's what sin is, in essence. Choosing to justify yourself rather than admitting God's right. God is just. I read Psalm 53 this week. There's no one good, no one righteous, not even one. All turn away. Psalm 36, we flatter ourselves to deceive ourselves, to defend ourselves. We say, it just came out, he provoked me. That's what we say, isn't it? But Jesus here, he could have provided a long list of the Pharisees' sins, but he points out this one glaring sin that's going to bar them from heaven. See, God is just. And when you try to justify yourself, wrongly, of course, then you are saying God is a liar. That's the thing. That's why it's such an offense. It's such a snub to God. I read again in Psalm 53, talking of wicked people, the psalm says, God despises them. Now that is the sort of thing you don't hear on the radio. You don't hear that on the thought for the day. That the Bible says that God actually despises, or more, make it more accurate, God despises you and me because of our wickedness. He despises us. But the wonderful thing is, God has done something. Good news. There's news. When we switch the TV on at 10 o'clock, say, Hugh Edwards doesn't come on and say, hello, this is 10 o'clock news on the BBC. I'm Hugh Edwards. No, this is what I think, boys. He doesn't give us his opinion. He tells us what has happened. Something has happened. And Christianity is so different from every other religion in the world because it's about news. Because the great news, even from, you know, the shepherds, they've been told, guess what? God is doing something. God has done something. It's good news. No other religion's like that. Hosea 9, days of punishment are coming. Days of reckoning are at hand. How will you escape? Well, how will we escape? God's done something. That's the great news. God has done something. You take two typical examples. Here's the typical chapel churchgoer, trying their best to be moral and so on. And then you take a devout Muslim, trying their best, praying so many times a day, trying to get the Mecca if they can, giving alms, fasting at Ramadan, and so on. Now, both very different, the chapel goer and the Muslim there, both very different in the details, but actually exactly the same in their outlook. Trying to do whatever it is, whatever it takes, so that they'll be forgiven without their sin being punished. See, they want forgiveness. They both want forgiveness. They want to be forgiven. but they both want to be forgiven without their sin being punished. And it can't happen, because God is just. This is why the gospel is good news. God has done something. It is finished, Jesus says. He's done something. Now, where are you in that? You hoping to be forgiven because of you're nice and you try your best and you read your Bible, you say your prayers, you come to church, whatever. You're just like these Pharisees. Still, that's a test. Defending yourself, justifying yourself. Or have you come just like Wesley in that great hymn? Lord, on me I feel thy wrath abide. 'Tis just the sentence should take place. 'Tis just, but oh, thy son hath died. Now, are you in that? Well, you see yourself. You see how many times you have justified it and defended yourself. But you see that someone else has done something. And if you turn to him, these are the last words I'll say today. Words of Jesus from Luke 14. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Everyone who tries to justify themselves is going to be humbled, humiliated. Don't choose that. Choose life. Amen.